Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. It's a new year, and many of us resolve to become healthier through better attention to nutrition and exercise. But how do we improve the health of our whole community? Well, the Tulsa Health Department, charged with maintaining health standards while protecting and improving our health, has taken a systematic approach with the release of its new Community Health Improvement Plan for 2017 and beyond, conveniently called CHIP. More than a year in the making, the CHIP involved identifying the community's health needs and then a multi-sector, multi-stakeholder approach with individuals, focus groups, nonprofit and social service agencies, health enterprises, the business community, and other governmental agencies like the mayor's office, coming together to reach consensus on what priorities we should collectively address to improve our county's health. The final document is just over 20 pages, but very readable with graphics and easy-to-read tables. There are some surprising elements, mostly that the CHIP addresses many factors we would not traditionally think of as directly health-related, like housing, education, and transportation. Increasingly, we've become aware that barriers in these realms impact our health. My guest today is Dr. Bruce Dart, Executive Director of the Tulsa Health Department, and the man responsible for the talented team that put together this new version of our Community Health Improvement Plan. He's our guest today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Bruce Dart, welcome back to the program. This is an exciting time. So you have just released your Community Health Improvement Plan from the Tulsa Health Department, a multi-page document that the organization took a lengthy time in preparing. I mean, was it more than a year? Or
It was about a year with all the multiple steps that it took to actually do it.
Bring it together, because lots of stakeholders, lots of focus groups, lots of community meetings, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But broadly, the goal of the Community Health Improvement Plan is what for Tulsa County?
The goal for this plan is to work towards making Tulsa the healthiest county in Oklahoma. I think last time we talked about our 10-year goal was of the healthiest county in the country, and we have to start with being the healthiest in Oklahoma, and this plan will be the first steps towards moving us in that direction.
Okay, and we talked a little bit offline about the fact that Tulsa County, for example, right now, out of Oklahoma's 77 counties, where are we in that?
We're 22nd based on the latest health rankings, which, we've kind of been, I think, in that 22nd place holding pattern for a little while, but we never really had a plan specific to moving us forward like this plan will do.
And when you say we're ranked 22nd out of Oklahoma's 77 counties, that's what's used for that is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation funds a group of researchers at the University of Wisconsin who have a series of measurements they make of all counties across the U.S. So they're consistent over time, but they've only been in employ since about 2010 when this all started. But nevertheless, that's kind of where we've been, and that's kind of when a little bit before when you started here. So this is, you're definitely entering as phase two to really push us forward.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, the Robert Wood Johnson County Health Rankings, and they rank every county in the country, and they rank them within the state. We can also use those metrics to rank us against other counties in different states. But, you know, right now I think it's important we focus on Oklahoma and improving our health status in the context of the state, overall state, and being healthiest in the state. And then we'll go and attack the rest of the country later.
We'll talk, I guess, about how this was done, but let's focus for now on, not to get too much into alphabet soup, but the CHIP is easy to remember because it's a nice acronym, Community Health Improvement Plan. And this is based essentially on the Community Health Needs Assessment, right? So you figured out from stakeholders, and you can tell us who those were, what were essentially the biggest health needs of Tulsans or in Tulsa County?
So the process was that, yes, we did it, and every 3 years we do this, but we did a community health needs assessment in two iterations. The first one was a quantitative process where we had a private university who wanted to actually survey our community. Our community was divided up into eight quadrants throughout Tulsa County that represents zip code level data. And that organization did a 79-question survey of 2,400 Tulsans, and we made sure that it was statistically representative of all these different regions in Tulsa County, so we got accurate information. And this was behavior risk kind of data to get people's feelings for where they were, what their health status is. And then after that, after we got this information back, and we did the analysis to determine what people's issues were around health status, we did focus groups and two focus groups in each region. So we did a total of 16 because, you know, we get people have a feeling of why they feel the way they do. And so we want to find out really. So if you're overweight and you're not eating healthy, but you tell me you feel fine, why is that? And these focus groups give us more information about why people feel the way they do and why they might think that they're healthy, even if they're not, or vice versa.
So, for example, in, just out of curiosity, in the survey, were people asked about their own opinions about their own health or about the health of the community and, like, what are the community's problems, or both?
It was both. And from that, you know, and I think there's no big surprise because this is a problem that's been, you know, problems that have been ongoing in Tulsa and Oklahoma for quite a while. But there were huge concerns around obesity and chronic disease and all those behavior-related issues that result in chronic disease, alcohol and substance abuse. Lack of access to health care, access to healthy foods around fruit and vegetables, and issues around our built environment, our infrastructure. I mean, do we have the ability, as we try and be healthy, do we have a community that supports the infrastructure that allows people to be healthy, both from a nutritional and physical activity perspective?
And then from there, so those were the top concerns that were identified. And then it looks like the focus groups, you were asked to sort of prioritize or cluster them into thematic areas. Mm-hmm. And then from there went to a steering committee, which then essentially is how you were helped to develop priorities for the health improvement plan.
Yes. And, you know, we found this is not our first CHIP. Our first CHIP, we had done the community health needs assessment, the focus groups, but we didn't have the multi-sectoral partner collaboration to actually create it. So we took all this data and kind of ranked them and came up with a community improvement plan based on what the community was telling us were their greatest concerns, but were they really issues that we as a community could impact and could address. So we learned from our mistake. We looked at other CHIPs and CHIP processes that were done across the country, really focused in on the Denver model. And from there, we used a process where we really brought together 65 community stakeholders, partners, organizations, individuals to take these issues once they've been identified and really determine, I guess, prioritize those issues into a working document, a working plan that we could actually impact on a real basis.
Okay. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Dr. Bruce Dart. He's Executive Director of the Tulsa Health Department. And we're talking about the just-released Community Health Improvement Plan that has been put out by the Tulsa Health Department. Let's focus now, Bruce, on the action plans themselves. And we start with, interestingly, health education and education systems. And these goals really are not lacking in ambition. So, for example, there's a column or a page really on educational attainment. And what's interesting to me about this is that there are several areas of focus that really would seem at first glance to fall outside of, say, a traditional public health or even medical model at all. Right? These are things that we look at how attainment, if you will, in education level. And so I'll read a couple and ask you about them. But so there's career track training, which is just ensuring and understanding that folks in Tulsa County are getting adequate preparation in healthy cooking, which is, I think, a very worthy goal and very interesting, and then educational attainment. So increasing early childhood education enrollment, and you have a goal on here of 10%. So those are interesting things because we do know, I think, from social science and from health economics that when we get early childhood education for kids, there's a great return on investment. I think there's not really any debate left along, you know, how we implement it, I think, is obviously debatable. But I think all sides of political aisles, if you will, agree with that sentiment. So I guess how does the health department, what levers do you have to try to enroll more kids in early childhood education? It's a laudable goal that I think we'd all want to achieve.
You know, and that's why this is very much a multi-sectoral plan, because you're absolutely right. We can't, as a single organization, we can't do it all. And all that needs to be done to improve health status and make ourselves the healthiest county, it really takes a community approach. And all these partnerships and these organizations that have responsibilities in these areas. I'll give you an example of Impact Tulsa, who really we've worked with them very closely, done a lot of data mining, and really have found out that there's a large percentage of 3- and 4-year-olds who aren't taking advantage of the huge array of early childhood enrollment programs here in Tulsa.
Or the universal pre-K we have in Oklahoma.
Exactly. Right. So it's identifying these issues and then having the faith and the structure to set these goals that are really outside of our realm, but knowing that there's organizations whose function is to serve in these areas. And especially issues around education. We've talked about social determinants in the past educated people make educated decisions around behavior, around choices. And we also know that only 20% of your health status is really reliant on access to health care. So it's important that we work outside of strictly the public health and healthcare realm. We identify all these community partners who were wonderful and came to the table, who have some responsibility around these areas that impact people's ability to be healthy, to make healthy choices, and to move in a direction that impacts them in a positive way from both the individual, family, neighborhood, and community level.
Okay, and that, I think, speaks highly to both the methodology in terms of collaborative nature of this health improvement plan, but also, I think, in terms of the ultimate goals, where there was a large consensus from focus groups of, again, folks who live in the community, who answered surveys, but then also folks in many, many different organizations, health-related social service, educational organizations, who came to the table as your stakeholders and as a part of your steering committee. So in a sense, then, it's really the partnerships I think that's one of the strengths, really, of the health department, is you have forged many, many partnerships with lots of different entities in the community. So it's really, in a way, the kind of glue or the connection that you bring across many of these different enterprises that I think will lead to, hopefully, success, obviously, in achieving some of these goals. So in the education realm, there's also a couple of, specifically, we alluded to the nutrition education. So a goal of a strategy that is of ensuring 10% of healthy cooking demonstrations occurring in zip codes with poor health outcomes. So how can we achieve that? And again, that's working with partners who are doing nutrition education kind of at the grassroots level. Is that really how it will work?
Absolutely. It's like, people, I think, need to learn how to cook healthy foods in a healthy way. And frankly, we at the health department, we have a cooking demonstration class at our facility at North 56th and Martin Luther King. And we found out there's lots of other entities who also do these types of programs. And so instead of us operating in an isolated manner in a silo, let's create a system and let's connect all these entities that do these programs so that we can ensure that this type of education is happening on a mass population level as opposed to an individual level or just small group level. So it's connecting all the resources and all the entities that really do provide these types of classes and do these programs and making everyone aware of what everyone does and doing it under a singular umbrella of, say, like our CHIP, so that we're moving the community forward together as opposed to these isolated programs and classes that are happening without an awareness of what's going on as a whole. And as we have these conversations, we bring all these tremendous partners who are just really our heroes to the table and find out what they do. It never ceases to amaze me that at every meeting, there's a new level of awareness of what just was taking place in this community, that if we connect it and we connect them on more of a population level as opposed to a small group level, we're going to see positive change. We're going to see that needle move in overall community health status.
One other area in education was health systems literacy. I thought this was pretty interesting too, that folks in your focus groups or in the on the steering committee identify these areas. So there was, for one thing, improving health literacy, which I think is something we would all benefit from, right? So understanding kind of how the health system works, and it's a confusing morass, if you will, of different service providers, different organizations, different hospitals. So having that is one of the key goals, I think, will only help improve people's overall understanding and educational level in terms of understanding perhaps what individuals, families, or community groups need as far as their own efforts to improve, their own health, as it were. So health policy, and then are those health impact assessments? Mm-hmm. Is that what those are? HIAs. That was a new one for me. Tell us a little bit about health impact assessments. And really the goal, I think, there is to have organizations embed health policy planning or health impact statements, if you will, into some of their policy planning?
Absolutely. It's whether it be organizations, whether it be whole communities, whether it be planning departments within community and city departments, health impact assessments allows us to do studies to determine what the impact of a specific health functionality or the lack of it might be in further development in any community. And if we do these health impact assessments before development takes place, then it makes for a much easier conversation with developers when it comes to, if you did this, we have the ability to prove a certain aspect of health status by a certain percentage. And then if we don't do this, we're just going to get worse. So Health impact assessments are very, I think, important. It's important that we take these to political decision makers, these conversations and these ideas, have whole communities be part of these conversations so that as we talk about development and redevelopment, that health and all policy aspects are part of those conversations. You know, if we don't do this on a community-wide basis, and we don't start to have real functionality around improving quality of life, then, you know, as we talk about communities growing and economic development and the potential for business coming to Tulsa and Tulsa County, these are the kind of things that they look at and that they want to know is what are you doing to improve quality of life? And all those balls that are really up in the air that feeds into quality of life. And health impact assessments are one of those big things that when communities see that in just terms of their own growth and their development and the community by design conversations are including the conversations around what will this do to improve health or allow people to be healthy or allow people to make healthy choices. It changes the dynamic. It changes the conversation. And you talk about a marketing tool to really market your community and the progress in your community. So we're really excited about the concept of health impact assessments and what they can do. And, you know, hopefully we'll get everybody in Tulsa County who make decisions around growth and community development to embrace these concepts.
Well, you have a big ally, right, in Mayor Bynum and his new administration and his staff. I mean, he has itemized health equity as one of his key strategic priorities for his administration. And, of course, he did the sort of the keynote or welcome at the announcement event of the Community Health Improvement Plan. So he's front and center, I think, in championing this for you.
And I think that's amazing. And I think that Mayor Bynum is really focused on improving health and health status and knowing that you're not going to have a sustainable community if you can't assure a certain level of life expectancy, if you can't get rid of disparity, if you have people in your community who live, who have different levels of life expectancy based on the zip code they're born in and they're raised in. And Mayor Bynum really understands that it's a community responsibility to make change and to impact that type of data so that there's no disparity between life expectancy. And we really appreciate that support. We appreciate the fact that the mayor has wanted to get involved and has made this a priority of his administration. We respect that greatly. And frankly, it's created, I think, a lot of synergy and a lot of energy around these conversations and our ability to be successful.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today, Dr. Bruce Dart. He's Executive Director of the Tulsa Health Department, and we're talking about the just-released Community Health Improvement Plan from the Tulsa Health Department that took over a year to put together from many, many community stakeholders, focus groups, and a steering committee that helped put together the plan. It was just released at a big announcement event on January 10th at the Tulsa City County Library, where Mayor Bynum was present. And we talked, Bruce, a little bit about how will we measure success? So we now have the plan, which was a laborious process in and of itself, yes. But one that was a consensus document, really, from these many folks, as we've mentioned. What will be done to sort of put this into practice?
So as I said previously, this really is very much a community plan, and it'll be implemented by an organization that we call Pathways to Health, which is the organization that all these community partners belong to. It itself is a 501c3. Its really main priority is to find resources, financial resources primarily, to distribute to community partners, to distribute to the community, to give everyone the ability to meet their goals, which feed into our community health improvement plan. So Pathways to Health will be really responsible for implementing overall our CHIP. The Tulsa Health Department will be responsible for measuring our CHIP. And, you know, if you can't, you have to measure what you do. And so with all the goals and objectives, we'll be creating very specific metrics that allow us to measure so that we know if we're being successful or not. And in the context of measuring, we'll be communicating every year. We'll release a report card that's telling the community how we're doing, if we're really moving forward in a positive way and if we're enacting positive change. And I think this makes it much more valid, makes it much more real, and it has a level of accountability that we as an organization at the health department have never really taken on before.
The process will be, so we've done the introduction, mm-hmm. we've completed the document, done the introduction, the rollout, and then at what point, I guess, are these status updates done, and then how can the community get involved? I mean, I know we have active listeners here on Public Radio Tulsa who really care about these kinds of community-wide initiatives. So where can people show up? At what points? Is it quarterly or is it like every half a year or something where people will be able to offer their opinions or hear about the latest updates on the Community Health Improvement Plan?
And I'm so glad you asked that, John, because, you know, this is really a community plan. It's not a bunch of people sitting in a room saying, hey, we're going to do this. I mean, it depends on the community and people getting involved and taking ownership. So we will have quarterly meetings that will go over what is going on. We'll invite the community to all of that. You can find out all the information on our website at Tulsa Health Department. Pathways to Health also has information on their website. We're going to create a special chip link that people can get on that has a combination of both data and we have what we call a live stories platform. It compares data with actual stories that put faces to this data. Because, you know, I make a mistake where I really focus on the data and the numbers. And you know, I sometimes forget that we're talking about people. We're talking about human beings. And we have to make this real. And if we're making a positive impact and positive foothold and moving that needle in a positive way, we're impacting people's lives. So on our website, we'll have our live stories platform, which will combine both the data and stories from our community that show what the data truly mean and how it really does impact people. And that's going to be up on a daily basis. We'll have quarterly meetings for the CHIP. And we'll put information out where those will be and what time and those kinds of things. And then every year we'll release our report card.
And this is it's a 3-year time horizon?
Yes, it is.
And then is there a sort of concluding report written or will be, or do you foresee that?
Absolutely. You know, we'll start the process to begin our next community health needs assessment in 2018, and that plan will take us into 2020. So we're already planning for 2020, but we have to measure and assess how this CHIP is done. And that's going to be a big part of the direction that we go in 18 and for our plan that will come out in 2020.
Okay, and let's turn back to the plan now. So we talked a little bit about the education platform. There was the other action plan item is access to health resources, which makes maybe more intuitive sense as far as a community health improvement plan. But I think what also is interesting is on this program, we've talked a lot about social determinants of health, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that a little bit earlier, but it's not just healthcare, although there is definitely a healthcare plank in terms of getting folks affiliated with healthcare, those that don't have health insurance, as Oklahoma continues to be one of the states that has not expanded Medicaid. But what's also in here is it ties back to the original plan, food security. So increasing availability of healthy food retail in areas of poor health outcomes by 10%. And so I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the goals then is to you're looking to incentivize or improve the ability of folks all over, even in corner stores or so-called convenience stores, to have more access to fruits and vegetables instead mm-hmm. of just packaged or, less healthy food that's higher in sugar and sodium, things like that. So this is collaborating, too, with the corporate sector as well as some of the nonprofit agencies?
Absolutely. You know, we have a food security council here in Tulsa, and they're going to play a large role in this. But, you know, ideally, we've talked before, we have in this 4 zip code area in North Tulsa, we have 35 food deserts where people don't have access to healthy foods and healthy fruits and vegetables. And, you know, public health, we're always saying, do this and do that. And then we don't understand why people don't, but they don't have access to it. So we have to change this conversation, change what we do. And, you know, if we don't do things differently, we're just going to stay 22nd. It's time that we do things differently. And, you know, in lieu of our ultimate goal, of course, is to have brick and mortar grocery stores that are accessible to everybody that lives in Tulsa and Tulsa County. I mean, that's the work that we're doing now that we'll see fruition from that in the future. But right now we need to assure access. And that's where these corner stores, these pop-up markets, using SNAP at farmers markets and, you know, having the Katie Plahakis of the world and her RNG mobile grocery store. So we're tying all these things together so that once again we can do things in a systematic way. And until we get brick and mortar, we can, I think, assure through these pop-up concepts, these corner store concepts, that our neighbors who live in these neighborhoods and these communities have access to the foods that they can consume to actually be healthy.
So I'm excited also to see in this plank of the community health improvement plan, housing and transportation together, because those are definitely part of what we think of as social determinants of health.
Absolutely.
And so folks who are in either substandard housing or housing that does not meet their family's needs, or a lack of transportation, can obviously be detrimental to someone's health. If, you know, the archetypal example, they have trouble getting, say, to a doctor's appointment. But how about transportation can be an impingement to employment, and employment can be a barrier to economic sustenance. So you have even in here a focus on land use, mm-hmm. and that I think ties into these health impact statements too. But I guess you alluded to that earlier about creating healthy developments, right?
Right.
So for developers to somehow incent them. So again, having the city and the mayoral administration be advocates of this too seems to definitely lend some oomph, I think, to the ability of the community health improvement plan to go forward. Tell us a little bit about transportation, because there seems to have been a lot in the vision package in terms of the GO plan or making Tulsa a more walkable, bikeable mm-hmm. city. Is that something you at the health department have also been championing, or Pathways to Health, I think, is also part of that and offering?
Absolutely.
In fact, you guys have, a neighborhood, something to set up for neighborhood walking groups to incent that.
We do, and we're actually doing, we have started these neighborhood walking groups at our North facility at North 56 and Martin Luther King. We're very much tied into the GO plan, which it will create more bike trails, hopefully greater sidewalks, you know. It's kind of hard to tell people to go out and walk and be physically active if we don't have sidewalks and trails and those kind of things. That's kind of what I'm talking about in terms of changing our infrastructure so that people can be healthy and at least can make healthy choices. And it's important that, you know, we take a holistic look to health, because all the things that you talked about, John, individuals and their families and community health status is dependent on having that kind of infrastructure and that kind of ability to make healthy choices, you know. And I don't really believe in the whole I believe in it, but that concept about, you know, making the healthy choice the easy choice, I will make the healthy choice the first choice. But it won't be, if it's not easy, if the infrastructure isn't there, that it's not going to happen. And people do understand that. Well, I think everybody wants to live themselves personally at a certain level of quality in their life. And you can't achieve that personal quality of life if your community doesn't give you the ability to. And all the things that you talked about, transportation, housing, trails and sidewalks, contribute to all of that. And these things, that, as you, I think I could see the wheel spinning in you, that they're all interrelated. Everything, and it's interconnected. And so we can't put things in silos, because everything that we do is dependent on having these things if we're going to have the ability to be the healthiest we can possibly be. And this plan, I think, is our first attempt as a community, you know, and as a county, of creating situations where all these interconnected determinants are actually being worked on, and being worked on in a prioritized way that will achieve, hopefully, systematic improvement.
Well, Bruce Stark, congratulations to you and your staff on putting together a really wonderful community health improvement plan. And thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate all of Tulsa getting out and supporting this. And we'll see everybody, and everybody has a chance to weigh in, because we want to know what people think about this plan and their engagement with this plan. So thank you, John.
Absolutely. Bruce Dart is the Executive Director of the Tulsa Health Department. He was with us today to talk about the newly released Community Health Improvement Plan for Tulsa County. For more information, go to their website at tulsa-health.org or the Pathways to Health website, which is pathwaystohealthtulsa.org. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening.